How are you? Now, this is one of those open-ended questions that I'm sure we each get asked on a daily basis, right? It's kind of just a normal way of greeting. Unfortunately, it's also one of those cop-out questions to which the person who is asking it usually expects an answer of, I'm fine, or I'm doing good, right? And then on the other side, the person responding is usually quick to blurt out a quick feel-good answer, but they are very rarely actually reveal the inner depths of what they are truly feeling. And the person asking really doesn't care to know, usually, about the inner depths or the inner feelings that you're feeling. So, all in all, this way of greeting sometimes can feel kind of like a lie. Because it doesn't really matter, right? It's an interesting thing to me that happens, because communication is such a fine art. But a lot of the times it's just treated as rubbish. How often do we actually take the time to really reach out, to truly seek and ask, and to really want to know how someone is actually doing? On the flip side, how often do we truly really say what is on our minds? How often do we give people the credit of doubt? How often do we judge another person without truly talking to them and finding out what's in their heart? How often do we see the good in people and work to bring that out? It's so easy to find blame, to find fault, to critique people. But to know their pains, to know their struggles, to see how they are being trained by God is something that is entirely different. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, Christ says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Sometimes we are quick to pass judgment with a harsh condemnation. Maybe we're talking to a person and we're like, "This is your problem, this is your problem, this is your problem." But what if instead we took a different approach? What if we took the approach of a gentle spirit? In Proverbs chapters 27 and verse 5 and 6 from the Amplified Bible, it says, "Better is an open reprimand of loving correction than love that is hidden. Faithful are the wounds of a friend who corrects out of love and concern. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful." And we read also in Proverbs chapter 15 and verses 1 and verse 4, this is from the NIV, it says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit." How often do we take these considerations into our lives? How often do we see it? Do we put it in action? The times that I actually think about it and I implement it in my own life, the outcomes are very powerful. In Galatians 6 and verse 1 and 2, Paul tells the brethren, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore this person gently. But watch out for yourselves that you also may be tempted." Verse 2, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." the law of Christ. So in order to accomplish this, to fulfill the law of Christ, we actually have to know what's going on in other people's lives. We have to know how we can show mercy, how we can show compassion, how we can show kindness, how we can lift people up when they stumble and fall. You know, as Christians, we are admonished to be full of the love of God. And he truly identifies and embodies love for us. You know, his spirit, if we are maintaining that spirit, can be showing us how. You know, love doesn't have to be gigantic, monumental things. In fact, most of the time, love shows up in the small things that we do and say and think. You know, I think about this a lot. And I am sad to say that there's a lot of times that I just truly don't show the proper love. And I realize that, specifically speaking, lacking these characteristics shows where our love truly lies. And Matthew 24 and verse 12 specifically sticks out to me, and it ribs me often. Because it says there, because of the multiplication, the increase of lawlessness or rampant sin, the love of many or most will grow cold. Now, some translations say this love of many will wax cold. Now think about a candle. When you light it, what happens? You know, a candle is hard, but when you light it, it starts to become pliable. It's liquid. But when you extinguish that flame, that wax once again hardens. And so this lack of love is like that. So how is our love? The love for God and staying close to him, the love for the truth, the love for the church, the love for the people that compromise the church. Comprise, not compromise. You know, the love that we're talking about here shows up in so many ways. In Matthew 25 and verses 31 to 40, Christ talks about people who he separates on the left and the right. And the people on the right are like, what did we do for you? And he says, if you're helping and taking care of these people, it's like you're doing it to me. And so I think that each of us, if we take the time to think about our actions and our reactions, our conversations and how we choose to talk, our use of our tones and our voices, do they really portray the love of God? Is that what is truly coming out from us? Now, some may push back and say, "No, whoa, that's too hard. It would take way too long if I thought about everything that was coming out of my mouth. Nothing would get done." But this is not what God's word says. In Psalms 1 and verse 2, it says, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." You know, when we are not meditating enough on God's law, on how the love of God shows up, then we're like that hardening wax that I mentioned. And interestingly, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, we find this: "For the word of God is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So those moments that when we choose the wrong things to say, when we choose the wrong way to say something, when those attitudes come up and nip, I think it shows us just where we are. And brethren, we have to divide between the soul and man and the spirit of God. And there is a massive division between the two. In all of this, I'm asking each of us to turn inwards and to examine so that we can turn outwards and truly show love for each other, the love that God intends for us to show for one another. In John 13 and verse 35, Christ says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Love, by definition here, is agape love, brotherly love, going above and beyond for those whom you consider brothers and sisters, more so than you would do for anybody else. And in John 15 and verse 12 to 17, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all these things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Again, agape love, brotherly love, true godly love. Laying aside everything for the good of someone else, just as Christ laid aside his physical life for each of us. It's so easy to get twisted up and to become focused only inward. But that way only leads to pain and to suffering, not only for yourself, but for everybody included. So again, I ask, how are you?